Hey there, welcome back. Thanks so much for tuning in to Ask Fred Johnson here today. You know, you can always visit my webpage. If you have any questions, have any things, we had a few this last week, and I just really thank you for your support and following up. There were some issues about, income taxes and the tax foundation and all that sort of request that we had last week, and the proposed new taxes are pretty big. But instead of going over that, I'm going to sort of hustle through some of this stuff here today. And it's really pretty interesting. You know what happened? Now let's go back. So we've got Measure 608. Measure 608 was signed into law in February of 2019, I believe. And it was also done in the state of emergency clause, so you know it didn't get full vetting or any of that sort of thing before it was implemented. So it was signed on February 28, 2019, and became law. And a lot of people, we've been dealing with that. It's about no cause evictions and rent controls, basically what it comes down to. And it really empowers the tenant and the property, and is really, really cumbersome for models. If an owner wants to sell the property, there's a number of hurdles that need to be jumped to accommodate the tenants, there's a number of exposures. It's pretty difficult, and I won't go into that, because what I want to really talk about is the new proposed changes. So what happened was, when they drafted this bill initially, they drafted it so that rental increases could be 7% plus the CPI. That's the consumer price index. And during the time when the bill was drafted, all that sort of, the consumer price index was virtually non-existent. You know, there was really not too much to it, a percentage point. I think last year it was, you know, a couple of points, so it came up to like 9.9 or something like that. Well, then with inflation and that sort of thing, this last year the consumer price index jumped up pretty significantly. Well, then all of a sudden the cap on how much interest rates, the rental rates could be increased, jumped up, and I'm sorry, I don't have that number in front of me, but it seems to me it's like 14.7 or something this year. It's quite substantial on a percentage relationship. But now, mind you, that's a percentage of the existing rent. That's not a percentage of overall value. And the difficulty with rent controls on a lot of different levels is they're sort of out of sync with the market to begin with, and it really had the unintended consequence of putting landlords in a situation where they maybe previously would not have done rental increases, puts them in a position where they really have to do rental increases if they want to keep their property at market value in the current market values. Because if you're limited to a small percentage and inflation is running at 12% and the demand for your property is running greater than that, even with annual increases, you can't keep up with it. Well, now there's a new proposed bill. Of course, we can't have, a year where we have a spike. And so where it was 7% plus the CPI with no cap, now they are proposing, this is Senate Bill 611, and they're now proposing 3% plus the CPI with an overall cap of 8%. You kind of go, okay, well, that means that there's an 8% cap, which is lower than the caps have been since this was implemented in 2019. And it would reduce the new construction would be reduced. There was a variance for new construction of 15 years to allow it to settle in on market value and what it was going to be. And that's been reduced to 3 years. And then this is sort of the quiet one in the weeds. It says also triple the relocation fees for tenants where landlord needs to do repairs or sell or have a family member move into the property. So those penalties can be 3 months rent. Well, if we're going to triple 3 months rent, that means that we're going to pay 9 months rent plus any actual damages sustained by the tenant plus potential attorney fees and legal costs, and is a basis for a defense against the eviction action whatsoever. So you kind of read that and go, wow, that's kind of got some extra stuff on it. And then And then at the same time, sort of simultaneously in Portland and in Multnomah and Washington County, they currently have a measure that is going to be voted on here in May, 26-238, which charges a 0.75% against any capital gain tax that is paid by the residents in Multnomah and Washington County. Now, this is sort of an interesting place to put a tax. It's nothing real estate related in any way, but it's sort of another one of those windows maybe that we found to circumvent the system without telling people we're going to increase taxes. We're just going to sort of apply this to any of their capital gain. So what is their capital gain? Well, capital gain is anything that comes off a long-term investment. Real estate, yes, but also your stock portfolio when if you're retired or whatever and you cash in some of your IRA for your living expenses or any of that sort of thing. There's another little 0.75% kick there. It's proposed by those that have submitted the bill that it could generate between $12 or $14 million today. I mean, if it were implemented today, that's how much money would be generated. Well, the purpose for this fund is to go into a legal fund for low-income tenant landlord laws to be able to enforce some of these new deals. So then when you go back and you go, okay, so you could triple the relocation fees for the tenant when the landlord needs to do repairs or move a family member. That means that you could triple the 3 months to 9 months worth of rent. You could do actual damages sustained, and you know that's a pretty wide open statement there. Potential legal fees or attorney fees and legal costs. Not only your legal fees and attorney costs, but you know they may even try to push them back from the state. Obviously, they're two different firms that they've selected up there. They're going to be pretty well funded if they're going to get somewhere between $6 or $7 million the first year. And it's also a basis for a defense against the eviction, the eviction action. So you can see these are things there's a lot of things that are coming out that are not business friendly, that are not yes you cans. There are a lot of no you can't, and you're gonna pay for it dearly when you do it. If you are a landlord, if you have some rental properties, specifically if you have more than 4 rental properties, and they're maybe not professionally managed, or even if they are professionally managed, to have some discussion to offer to your legislators that. You have a concern about Senate Bill 611, might be in your best interest, but these are things that are making it increasingly difficult. And these were one of the private property rights that were always granted, previously where, maybe mom and dad passed and you decided to keep their home as a rental, or you bought your starter home and as the family grew, you decided to keep your starter home and use it as a rental to move on so that you would have some funding into your retirement years and that sort of thing. And all of these sort of little layers and fees and regulations and all this thing are making it increasingly difficult for those people to enjoy the benefit of those rentals. And quite honestly, on the user end of it, I've got a number of customers and clients that have had tenants for years. They haven't raised their rate in years because they want their tenant to be there. It's probably as close to affordable housing and isn't the institutional investor, which seems to be coming in at an accelerated rate, taking over that rental market with all these new apartments and everything that's coming in. Those are pretty well structured. and you'll notice that there's really not a big component unless there's some government involvement on the backside, palming a little bit of money and subsidies or whatever on the backside to make those things happen. It's another reach. It's an overreach. And someone told me many years ago before the recession that if it was a bad idea before the recession, it's really a bad idea during the recession. Well, if this was a law that was sort of half baked in an executive action, in an emergency executive action, and now to try to amend it and make it even more restrictive than it was previously, I don't know. It just seems that it deserves a little bit more public input than that, and they're really not inviting. It's kind of on the down low. If you are interested in a link where you can submit a response or your opinion or do more information about that, please don't hesitate to go to my website, which is AskFredJohnson.com. I'd be more than glad to forward that on to you. When we come back, I guess I'm going to hit on the mule deer a little bit and sort of let you know that there's another sort of land use overreach that they're baking up in the kitchen over there. So hopefully you'll enjoy that. The number here at the station is 541-388-1110. And you're listening to Ask Fred Johnson here on FM News 100 1110 KBND.